All right. It's a bit tricky right now, honestly. I've been talking a lot in the messages to Charlie Clausen, who he's done lots of stuff. I've been doing a deep dive. I was gonna say doing some bunny boiler. It's getting a bit intense, I guess, but yeah.
Support sex work or
This is
whatever
like
it might
the
be. If there's some
podcast,
dumb law around
and
that
I'm
where
listening
it's
to this,
specifically that they
and
consider
this
total
is when
forbidden
I
for
like I'm
conduct.
just
I guess
chilling
I
and
don't know.
you know,
Specifically
the reading
total
through the
forbidden.
mailbag and just
This is from
relaxing.
Louise, calling
Ah!
us from the depths of depression.
What?
I noticed listening to a recent episode that Will and I have similar
Yeah.
ideations. The whole thing with being able to go into nothingness, where I take every trace of thought so that no one would ever be upset by me being
This is
gone.
not
I think that Will
extremely
and I could
personal.
solve our problems by having a kind of personality transfusion. I reckon Will's problem is that he's too likable, so people won't leave him alone.
Yeah.
My problem is that I'm so unlikable that everyone, especially medical professionals,
Oh.
that everybody, especially medical professionals,
He's doing really well. I'm making so
doesn't
many
like me. I can
mistakes.
claim with full certainty I'm internationally
Nationally
disliked. I've
disliked.
got the same feedback in other countries from different cultures and from
Every
every
pulse
imaginable intersection.
intersection.
I used to think it was because I grew up in Brisbane and people here aren't very
That got me.
tolerant,
I'm
but I
like,
think
no.
there's aspects of my personality that I may even be able to apply harm minimization.
Yeah.
So if I could offer enough of my personality to Will to drive away that those who didn't want close, I would be the best emotional firewall possible. What do you think, Will? Do you want to do a
So
personality swap?
unwell.
Well, I mean, it's a lower version of face swap, isn't it? Like technology, a little just personality swap. Here's what I would say. I hope that what's the name of this
Louise.
correspondent?
Louise.
Hi,
Yes.
Louise. I hope you're doing
Hi.
okay, Louise, because
Oh,
I know
sort
it
of.
sounds like things are tough. Here's what I know as a touring international comedian. I have gone to places they've never heard of me and made them not like me. I've taken the shit on the road to places where they were blissfully unaware of my presence until I arrived, and they don't like me. That is
I
not
get that feeling.
the issue. I think, mate, we all have aspects of our personality that other people find unpleasant. That's just the nature of being a human being. Nobody gets along with everybody, and please, hopefully you find your people who, can look after you. And but don't worry that, you've been hated on every, you've been hated by people from all continents all over the world and medical professionals all over the world. Once you find the right person, then hopefully that'll be helpful to you. But I appreciate the offer.
I feel like too, when you're in that mindset, I often think that, like, oh God, like, what must people think, or this person doesn't like me, or whatever. Like, more often than not, people are thinking about
Think nothing.
Yeah,
They don't
we're
care. They don't
all
care.
self-absorbed, I
They,
know.
you know, they're occupied with their own stuff. You can
I probably
project a
haven't
lot of
mentioned
stuff.
this
to you, Charlie, but I'm off social media. Have I brought that up?
Yeah, I've heard a few
Mm,
times.
it's a good move.
One of the things that I was pretty aware of anyway, but one of the compulsions of social media is that it tricks you into thinking that you need to have an opinion about everything. I literally was having this conversation with Dave Hughes, where he was saying during the pandemic that a lot of time when he was trending on Twitter, he said he just felt like there was these debates going on and that people needed to hear, what his take or what his thought on the debate was. And that's what the algorithm or the machine, it tricks you into doing that, because that's obviously how it keeps you on there engaged and keeps other people engaged. Here's the one thing I know about leaving social media. No one cared. Not one person noticed,
It is
gave a shit.
okay.
No one.
I'm gonna interject here, because I feel like I'm gonna cough. It's wild the whole that whole phenomena. I really had to train myself in that when I was doing rehabilitation in my bougie street in Paddington, and I'd be walking up and down the little cul-de-sac in like my tattered pajamas and bed hair, but I just needed to rehabilitate, and I needed to be able to walk outside and freely swing my arms, and so that's what I did. And I just would think, oh well, whoever is looking down at me will look down and go, oh, that's that crazy lady from number 21, and then they go back to their own lives again and being self-absorbed. So that was really good training in that. And, yeah, I get to see how toxic social media and the comparison. Oh, it's just, it's not good. Anyway, so this I totally agree with. I do kind of like, there is a little difference, Will, between being paid to go overseas and people being surprised and just like rocking up and people. Well, for me, it's often people like me initially and then turn on me after a bit, or they're just like really. I had one guy sure that I was a born-again Christian because I just seemed too perky. Oh, here come some trains. All right, so I'm going to play some more of this thing. It was very sweet, but it was also super cringy when I was listening to it. Oh, God. And Charlie did a great job of reading my terrible letter.
It's like rung me and gone, hey, this thing's going on. Yeah. Can we get your take on this? No one cares. No one is ever thinking about you as much as you worry that they are thinking about you.
Yeah, it's not.
Which is a wonderful message to go. No, it is a good message when interpreted in that way. Yeah, it's that thing of, you know, you can expend a lot of energy also thinking about comparing yourself to other people, thinking about other people, but it's just like it's a fruitless pursuit because they are occupied with their own things. This is from Beck, Will.
Mm. Oh, we don't need to hear about Beck. Beck was just talking about how awesome Will was. I did write something else, and I actually wrote it. I wrote it out on my laptop first, but it was not an easy process. It was, because my laptop is old. It's a first generation MacBook Air, so it does feel lovely under my fingertips, and it clack, clack, clacks just right. So I wrote that on that, and then I need more water, I got the dry horrors. And then I had to get it across to my devices that were connected to the internet by using my camera to do a screen read, to do a text read. Very handy. Okay. So let's read this letter I wrote on the laptop, scanned over to the phone, moved over to the iPad for editing, back over to the phone, copied and pasted into the Patreon messages. Hello again, Void, Person, Lads, Charlie. It feels great to let my fingertips slide across the keyboard this time instead of pecking away at my phone. However, as I stare at the screen, I notice myself holding my breath. Blank canvas syndrome, I think this is called. When you are frozen in the indecision of doing anything at all, starting can feel impossible. This is my second pass at letting my thoughts flow through my hands. On the first pass, I wrote an anecdote from 2014, and it is wild to realize it has been almost a decade since my world turned upside down. In 2014, I went to Thailand to spend some of the non-disclosure agreement money from my prior work disaster, which left me emotionally devastated. I didn't understand the issues weren't just surface, that an executive assistant with time blindness was a terrible idea. Nevertheless, I wanted to change the way I looked to meet workplace expectations for a working woman in administration. I planned to get makeup tattooed on my face so that it was something I wouldn't have to remember again. A kind tattoo artist said that I did not need or want to tattoo my face, and luckily I listened. That could have gone badly, I do realize, as I still have two tattoos on my body from that time. I look down at the inky smears and I care for about 1.5 seconds, but I do think it would be different if it were my face. So here is a story from that wild period when I got a begrudging hall pass from my then husband back in Australia. My sex drive woke up to my surprise, at 41, after I had already planted a tombstone on my belly. She was dead up until I was without a husband to cock block me. Sorry, Brad. Anyway, the flattery totally got to me, and I had a few months of incredibly awkward experiences involving sex. The first was a threesome with two incredibly stunning Gen Zers, and I think I might have meant Gen Yers, but I can't do alphabets. The woman was Dutch and the guy Israeli, and she wasn't lying when she was raving about his penis. I couldn't understand why she needed to repeat herself on the dance floor. My boyfriend has a giant cock. I kept smiling and nodding, thinking she was being drunk and forgetful. I thought, good on you, love. You won the cock lottery. I never thought she was hitting on me. It became obvious when they each had a hand on one of my breasts. The three of us went to their lush bungalow, and whatever these Gen Zers were up to, they had money. The guy was cool as fuck, driving the motorbike with us two gals on the back. She was in the middle, writhing and wriggling, while I prayed we made it to the love shack intact. The sex started instantly, and it was fun until the Dutch lady started throwing up. It was pretty spectacular, both in how violent it was and how she would drag herself back into sexy times. So my first sexcapade was really hot, except for the bits where it was punctuated by violent vomiting. Time after time, she reanimated her corpse, while her boyfriend and I offered her reassurances that we could stop. Nope, let's do this, she would continue to say as she shambled out of the bathroom yet another time. I am pretty sure threesomes are always awkward, but this was spectacularly so. Eventually, we all gave up when she fell asleep after the fourth vomit. I think the boyfriend and I were relieved as he took me to my place on the back of his motorbike. No wriggling lady between us. The best part of my night was the feeling of my cheek resting on his back. And then I write, cool story, right? Okay, so that's a little follow-up episode from the last one. I hope you liked it. Yeah. Tofop. I'm trying to find the web series that Charlie Clausen did. he was on, he's been, what was he on? McLeod's Daughters, Home and Away. I haven't actually seen him do anything like that. I've only known him through the podcast, but he's actually quite an established actor and writer, and it's very, it's called the grandfather of podcasts in Australia. All right. That's it, I guess. Do I have an update? Yeah, so I've been feeling rough. Just, I don't know. Stop the world I want to get off. No, I just feel very needing to lick my wounds deep in my cave. So that's where I keep, even though medical recommendations are for me to get out into the sunshine and walk about a bit, which Zoe would love. Wouldn't you, darling? So, let's be curious as to whether that happens today. Otherwise, what was how that goes? Bye, darlings.